touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. You are listening to Stuff You Missed in History Class. We're your two new hosts, Jonathan Strickland
and Lauren Vogelbaum.
Today we wanted to talk about the history of April Fool's Day. Actually, obviously, this is an April Fool's Tech Stuff episode. The last time we did one of these, it was me and my former co-host Chris, and we decided to say that Tech Stuff had been canceled and replaced with reruns of Stuff You Should Know. So I thought this time I would just say that we were now Stuff You Missed in History Class. That, of course, is not true. We wanted to update folks on other pranks and jokes that technology companies have done in the years since that Tech Stuff episode, which that published in 2009. We did not cover 2009 because
it published that day.
Yeah, we record the episodes early, so there's no way of that we would have any way of knowing what was going to happen on the actual April 1st, 2009.
You guys aren't psychic, no.
Yeah, we also don't know what's going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
When you're listening to this, we will also be finding out what's going on. So, but before we jump into 2009 and then work our way through, I thought I'd mention a few pranks we didn't talk about in that first episode. And one of them some of these are not April Fool's pranks, by the way. They're just famous pranks that have happened within the world of technology. And one of them is one that definitely ruffled feathers. And Lauren, I know you know about this one too. It's what Gizmodo did in 2008 at CES. And they brought along these little controllers called TV Be Gone.
Right, right.
Yeah. So these are controllers that they only have one purpose, which is to turn off any television set that uses the infrared receivers to, you just press a button and it goes through all these different codes that are used for various television sets to turn them off. So some folks from Gizmodo were given some TV Be Gone controllers, and then they proceeded to wreak havoc, or at least spread mischief around the CES
floor.
Show floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they even did it during some presentations.
Oh, that's not necessarily kind.
Yeah. So, in fact, they caught a lot of flack for that, and including from me. I mean, there are very talented people who write for Gizmodo, or who work on other projects with Gizmodo, but that got under my skin, to the point where I was thinking, like, if I'm a guy whose job it is to present to the press and to vendors how amazing a product is, and the product keeps not working throughout my presentation, that could mean actual loss in sales,
yeah,
and bad press, and it just, I mean, to me that. That's not the role of journalism. It's not to be like, hey, look how clever and naughty we are, you know. And the CEA, that's the organization that puts on CES, agrees with me because they banned Gizmodo for that behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of goes with, I think that a lot of people in the press are kind of over this entire tech April Fools on the web thing.
That's a great thing to point out. Yeah, there. To be fair, like, I still find it amusing, but it's not my job to follow everything. I don't report the tech news.
Right, right.
So
we're
much.
Not a news situation, so it doesn't really matter if we have a day by day, up to the date, everything going on all
right.
the time.
Whereas if we were to cover the news, then you already know on April 1st that there's no way to have any sort of reliability.
Certainty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the news stuff you run into on April 1st, there's a very good chance that it's shenanigans.
Right, right. Chicanery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do think most places are pretty good about having a little link at the bottom that says, like, oh no, this is an April Fool's joke. So
most, but not all.
Not all.
Yeah. And a couple of other, pranks I wanted to mention. I'm sure that we mentioned this in an episode of Tech Stuff in the past, but I could not find it.
If any of you guys remember, write in, because it is killing Jonathan. It's really there's that little vein.
I am definitely guilty of manufacturing false memories, so it's quite possible that I did invent these. But I'm sure that I heard Chris talking about this. But again, these aren't April Fool's jokes, but Caltech has a rich, rich history
mm-hmm.
of pulling pranks. Some of them aren't hacking in the sense of hacking electronics, but are more like social hacking.
Life
hacking. A great example of the life hacking approach was in 1961.
61, okay.
During the Rose Bowl game. So Caltech, which was not in the Rose Bowl that year, discovered that one of the plans during that game was for this one cheerleading squad to yell out numbers, and then the audience would hold up a card that related to whatever the number was. Mm-hmm. And some Caltech students went in and fiddled with the system so that there were 15 different numbers that they would go through throughout the game. Mm-hmm. So once they hit 14, when everyone held up the cards, it actually spelled out Caltech.
Oh, no.
So they managed to crash the Rose Bowl. Well, they did it again in 1984, because that year they ended up rewiring the scoreboard so that although the actual game was UCLA versus the University of Illinois, the scoreboard said that it was Caltech 38, MIT 3.
Huh.
Yeah. They've done a lot of pranks on MIT, and MIT's done some on Caltech as well.
It's like if you get really smart kids all together in one room, they get a little bit bored and punchy.
Yeah. Apparently, they once traveled from California all the way to Massachusetts. There's a sign at MIT that says the Institute of Technology, and they made the sign read that other Institute of Technology. And then they passed out free T-shirts to the pre-freshmen who were there to explore the grounds. And the T-shirts on the front read MIT. On the back it said, because not everyone can go to Caltech. So, yeah. Anyway, the Caltech's got a real long history of it. But let's move on to some actual pranks that were pulled in 2009.
Yeah.
Do you have one you want to start off with? We're just going to kind of alternate.
Yeah. I was really fond of YouTube flipping all of its videos upside down. There's a little message that would play on the site that said that for maximum viewing optimacy.
Right.
That's not a word. That's not the word that they used. But, right. but yeah.
Similar to
words.
That,
yes.
Yeah. Where it was, yeah, everything was upside down. That was a good one. Microsoft released a trailer for a game called Alpine Legend.
Oh, yes.
It ended up looking
like... It was a yodeling game.
Yeah.
Like Guitar Legend. But
with an alpine horn. Yeah, the alpine horn looked like it was 12 feet long and had four buttons on it, and you were supposed to... It was a rhythm game, just like Guitar Hero or Rock Band or anything like that. And, and then it had a singing component, so you would have someone yodeling next to you as you're playing
the
alpine
right.
horn.
Yeah.
I love this. I want one. It's kind of my Think Geek moment when I didn't even see that when it happened in 2009, or if I did, I have no memory of it. Do you have another one you want to do?
Amazon announced that they were going to have some blimp-based cloud computing systems.
That's, yeah, which is awesome.
I still want that. I would take blimp-based.
Yeah,
I would pay more for that service,
They were going literal with cloud services. It was called the Floating Amazon Cloud Environment, or FACE. And it supposedly had solar cells on the top of each blimp that would collect solar energy to provide the electricity needed for that blimp. There was the Hotelicopter.
Hotelicopter, yes. I think that Engadget actually fell for this one just a hot second.
It was supposedly a Soviet MIL V-12 helicopter.
Military helicopter, yeah. One of those kind of double-decker looking things. Right,
enormous thing. And that had been converted into a luxury hotel that had 18 rooms. Each room had a coffee machine or a mini bar.
Queen-size bed, fine linens.
Mm-hmm. Wi-Fi. Yeah, and they used the images they used were actually images taken from a chain of hotels called Yotel. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, it was later discovered that Yotel was in on the joke.
Right.
So it wasn't just that someone had stolen the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Google that year.
Oh, gosh. Google always comes out with a ton of things.
Let's see. They had, I think it was a kind of under an umbrella, that one. That was their Caddy year,
yeah,
wasn't
Katie?
It?
Katie? Yeah, Cadie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the
cognitive auto heuristic distributed intelligence entity.
Yeah, and it was an artificially intelligent creation that Google then unleashed on the web, supposedly. And one of the first things it did was build its own website. And it built its own website from Google explained that it was designed to pull design elements and design strategies from the web and pick the ones that are the most popular because those have to be the best ones.
Right, exactly.
And build its own website. Did you actually see the website?
It looked like something from 1997.
It was like
GeoCities.
Yeah, there was an animated banner at the top. There were pandas all over the page. There was there was a music playing in the background. I mean, like every bad design, there was an under construction GIF. That's what was my favorite. There were every bad design you can remember in the 90s from web page design was in this artificially intelligent creation had supposedly created this picture. There also was an announcement to a 3D upgrade to the Chrome browser, mm-hmm. because 81% of all households have at least one pair of red-blue 3D glasses laying around.
Right, right. There was a Gmail autopilot, which would answer your emails for you.
Yeah, there was a Picasa feature that would let you put red eye into your photos.
It would automatically add red eye into your photos. Yeah. And if the photo didn't have any eyes to add red to, it would destroy it.
I didn't get to that part. That is awesome. In Australia, Google announced G-Ball.
Oh, right, a GPS-enabled soccer ball. I'm assuming that they meant soccer since it's outside.
Well, Australian rules football.
Oh, Australian rules. Okay. Well,
so not soccer,
now.
But Australian rules football. Yeah, it not only was it GPS-enabled, but it could send messages to like, let's say that you are a sports fan, but you can't watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
It would update you via text messages how the game was going based upon the position of the ball.
According to the football. That's great.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting kicked around a lot. This is hurting my self-esteem. There was some great stuff from Google that year.
Yeah, yeah. My other favorite, being that I work in social media, is that Guardian reported it was going to shut down all of its web and print services and go Twitter only.
Yeah. They said that everything that is ever reported in the news can be summed up in 140 characters or fewer. Expedia offered flights to Mars starting at $99, and Hotels.com offered deals on hotel rooms on the moon.
Wow.
Warner Brothers supposedly bought the Pirate Bay for $13 billion because they were involved in a lengthy lawsuit, and it didn't look like Warner Brothers would win, so the only way Warner Brothers could get around it would be by buying the Pirate Bay.
Wow.
Yeah, that obviously was not true. That was reported on Torrent Freak. That was the source of that one. Yahoo announced that they had ideological search, which would let you filter out any search results that conflict with your own worldview. So it's kind of like Facebook,
or
how you just start to unfriend people. Like, I do not want any more posts about that.
Actually, I'm kind of afraid that that's what Google is doing right now, like this very moment in the real world.
Yeah. TechCrunch reported that their technology blog, Crunch Gear, had been purchased by General Mills, so that Crunch Gear would be about crunchy cereals, which, again,
I don't know.
I thought that was awesome.
I would read that, yeah.
Wired's Geek Dad became Jock Dad. Reddit became Reddig.
That was what they did that year, yeah.
They totally redesigned themselves.
I didn't write it down.
Yeah, they redesigned the page to make it look more like Dig, which, you know, Reddit and Dig, there's definitely a...
Especially at the time,
there was a big rivalry.
Kerfuffle there, yeah.
Zappos said that they were introducing bunk desks, so they would build platforms above a desk and put a second desk on there. The picture was great because it showed a guy sitting at his desk facing away from the camera and a platform built over his desk. And on top of the platform was a second desk with a young lady facing toward the camera working at her desk. And they had removed the ceiling tile over her head because otherwise her head would be pressed up against it.
Right.
So that was kind of funny. There was the service Chirper that was announced by Box.net because they said that Twitter is just, it's 140 characters. It's just too long.
Mm-hmm.
So it reduces your tweets to 50 characters by dropping letters.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Opera browser was introducing face-based gestures. So to zoom out, you'd puff your cheeks out. To zoom in, you'd suck your cheeks in. To reload the page, you'd twist your neck, that kind of stuff. There were some pretty good ones that year. Now, 2009, I have to say, was probably like the banner year. I think that was where the tech goofiness on April Fool's really peaked.
Kind of peaked,
and
yeah.
And then people started to kind of back off after that, but this was like the year where everyone was doing it. National Geographic announced the publication of its newest title, National Geographic, The Best of the Breasts. The press release said, finally, a compendium of all our stellar breast photography has been culled for our 126-year history. It's a celebration of the female body in its honest form.
That is completely amazing. That makes me so much more fond of National Geo. I'm like, I didn't know that they had that sense of humor.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
And a little website, a blog for a website, a little website called HowStuffWorks.com, had an article about rechargeable chewing gum written by a Jonathan Strickland. That was my contribution that year. I couldn't talk about it during the podcast that we recorded way back in 2009 because it had not yet published. I was particularly proud of that one. I had some people believing it, even though I thought it was, this is the thing, when you write these things, you'd think there's no way anyone's going to ever take it seriously.
No one. Uh-huh. No, they do.
We'll move on to 2010. So 2010, first of all, I want to say ThinkGeek, of course, has a history. of announcing ridiculous products on April Fool's Day, and then another history of making them become real things when people say,
when enough people say, why doesn't that exist? Hey, I would buy that thing. Please let me give you my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, my favorite from 2010, I think 2010 was the year that the Dharma alarm clock from Lost came out. This is, and if you guys have not watched Lost, then you're going to be completely bored for the next 15 seconds, but it had two alarm settings, a 1 minute warning and an electromagnetic cataclysm mode.
Nice.
It has a 23-year warranty or until your house explodes.
Nice.
And polar bear not included.
Does it flash sideways, like Lost did?
It's got hieroglyphs.
But it had they also introduced the iCade, which was the little arcade cabinet housing that you would put an iPad into,
and
you could play
arcade games on it. Which
and
is,
that became a real thing.
That is we have one here.
We have one here in the office. I've played with it myself. Let's see. YouTube announced TextP, which was a response to the fact that. That online videos take up a lot of broadband. It takes up a lot of, you know, it requires a long time to buffer, like especially back in 2010, you know, it wasn't quite as fast. And mobile was definitely an issue there too. So TextP was a service that would convert videos into streaming text instead of actual video images, and that you could supposedly just watch the video in text form, which was... Nice way to streamline that broadband problem.
The Independent newspaper from the UK reported a plan to build a Hadron Collider in the Circle Line of London's metro.
Right. So the tube would become a particle accelerator. I thought that was a great one.
Yeah.
I love that Funny or Die turned into Bieber or Die.
Right.
Supposedly Justin Bieber purchased Funny or Die, and then it just became a website about Justin Bieber. All the videos were about Justin Bieber. Oh, that was a fantastic one. There were some great fake articles on Wikipedia. I don't know how that's different from any other day. But one of those, it was a joke.
Oh, snap.
It's just a joke.
Not all of them are fake.
No, but, you know, I'm saying this just after the news broke that someone detected that BP had been fudging the environmental report about the oil spill. So... You know,
always check your sources on Wikipedia. Kids.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia has its place. It's just you have to take it with a grain of salt. You know how people sometimes mess with the system. Anyway, in 1999, they purposefully had some joke articles. My favorite one was one that said a Japanese company had accidentally sent some of its customers back to 1999.
Huh.
And I thought that's a good one.
That's good. Yeah.
Hulu created a fake option to watch videos in 3D. And that was one of those things where you start watching it and it turns into the whole aliens have created Hulu and TV.
It's part of that secret plan campaign that they were doing for so long with what's his name and that other girl.
Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Eliza Dushku, I think, was also in some of those spots.
One of the Baldwins.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, yeah.
Alec.
Yes.
I believe. Let's see. What else?
Reddit that year, that was the year that they temporarily granted all users admin access.
Wow, yes.
For the whole day, which meant, you know, you could edit headlines, you could ban users, you could...
infinitely vote up anything you wanted. So you could post your own link and then vote it up to the very top of Reddit. Meanwhile, everyone else is doing the same thing.
Right, sure. So yeah, I love the stuff that Reddit does. That one was terrific, though.
Google went nuts again.
Yeah. So that was the year. That was right after Topeka, Kansas, had named itself Google
for a day. And they were trying to attract Google to build out that fiberhood in Topeka.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so Google renamed itself
Topeka for the day. Yeah. And then they also replaced search speeds with fake terms. So, you know, like it tells you how long it took Google to perform your search. Then it was saying things like 7.2 warp or 23.00 skidoo. Which I thought was great. Gmail had a vowel outage, and so only consonants were showing up.
Google UK had a translate for animals feature.
So you could hold up your phone.
You could make a little audio recording. And
it would tell you what your dog or cat or pig was saying.
Pig Latin was going to be a new expansion coming out soon.
Right. There was also, if you typed in "where am I" into Google search field, usually you get coordinates when you do that.
Sure.
But if you did it on that day, it would tell you things like Neptune or Mordor or entrance to Hogwarts.
Wow.
If only.
Oh.
Yeah, there were some great ones there. Kodak announced aromatography.
Aromatography.
It's like smell-o-vision, but in picture form. So you capture the actual scent of the subject of your photograph.
I would also, that's actually, I wouldn't want that technology to be unleashed upon the world at all. I think PC World had an article, users blame sudden acceleration for recent spate of injuries. And it was about how, you know, Windows search queries could be completed in less than 2 minutes and it would just give people seizures.
Nice. Thrillist reported that there was a new startup called Meeting Roulette, which was like chat roulette except for business people. So if you wanted to practice your presentation, you would get on Meeting Roulette and get connected with other random business people, and then you would do your presentation. So it's like chat roulette, but with more PowerPoint slides and fewer nudity.
Yeah, more pants people. And PowerPoint
yeah, more pants,
slides.
More pants and more PowerPoint slides, exactly. There was a Flickr announced the Flickr Pad, which was a pad of paper with photos attached to it. Groupon had Groupon, which was all luxury items, like crazy luxury items, like here's a collage made out of dollar bills. It's $249,999. College Humor actually didn't go on the internet for their joke. They went to real New York locations, New York City locations, and put up posters saying, coming soon, In-N-Out Burger. So In-N-Out Burger is a California fast food chain, and they were putting up these California fast food chain posters up on, like, vacant buildings that have been boarded up. They'd put up the signs there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that could get you punched. I mean, I know it's In-N-Out is a religion among some people.
Yeah,
but...
supposedly the blogs of New York, the food blogs, kind of picked up on the joke immediately.
That's good.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a good overview of some of the big ones from 2010. I mean, Toshiba also started getting in on the game. They introduced the Tube Top laptop computer, which was a laptop that had an inflatable case, including a little inner tube that's part of it. Good year, 2010, but already it was starting to slow down a bit. And before we get on to 2011, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor. All right, let's get back to the joking. So we're at 2011. Hit me with something from 2011.
Speaking of Toshiba, that was the year that they had the 3D monocle.
Yes.
The spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
One-eyed 3D, so real, you'd think you're using both eyes.
That's tricky to do, too. I mean, obviously, like most 3D involves parallax, which requires two eyes.
Mm-hmm,
you
know,
you have to have two lenses, which is why people who have vision problems in just one eye but not the other, often the 3D effect is completely lost on them. It also means that, they would prefer to have the polarized lenses because at least then they could watch whatever the movie was
as opposed
to red or blue, which means it would just be red or blue.
Yeah.
Blizzard for World of Warcraft introduced a new companion, Krabby, who would give you helpful hints. Krabby was essentially Clippy for World of Warcraft.
Right.
I see you're trying to lead a raid. Would you like some help? Yeah. I'm not a World of Warcraft player, so that is hilarious to me.
Huh.
Let's see. Hulu redesigned its site to look like it came out of the 1990s.
Yeah. Windows 95 style. They had all the front page was all like X-Files and Kings of the Hall.
Yep.
They had ads up for like Netscape and
GeoCities. Like someone just hit Control Alt Delete to 1995.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, they ended up introducing an option that would allow you to make your photos or your videos look like they came from the early 1900s. So they would all turn into silent movies with piano-backed music and have a sepia tone. Now, their feature was not obviously actually activated.
Oh, right.
But they took some very notable types of videos and then redid them as like
re-edited.
Silent movie versions.
Yeah. That's another thing that I think that people would probably, if that existed, we would be subjected to a lot more of that.
Yeah, we'd have like at least two different versions of every video. Here's my favorite one. Irish airline Ryanair announced that it would offer child-free flights.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'd pay. I would. I don't fly that often, but when I do, I appreciate it when I don't have a crying baby within five rows of me.
It's a perk, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, hey, kids are great.
No, they are. They are. And it's not their fault that they're upset and they don't understand why.
Yeah.
You know,
kids
they're in pain.
Kids are great when they are
quiet,
far away from me. Okay.
Aw. I like other people's children just fine.
I like them too, in theory. It's
anyway.
In practice. No, kids really are. Actually, I do like kids. I just, you know, I'm definitely one of those people who normally I can fall asleep on a flight, but when there's a crying baby, that's
not really
in the cards.
Yeah.
See, Yelp announced puppy rentals.
Puppy rentals?
Yeah, you could find places to rent a puppy for a while. If it weren't for the fact that I know that would be psychologically damaging for the puppies, I would say that's a brilliant service. But because I actually care about the animals, it's not a good idea at all.
Yeah, no, not a good idea. TechCrunch that year announced that Spotify was going to be coming to the U.S. and in order to afford the tremendous licensing fees for MP3s, shutting down in Europe.
Yeah, which was hilarious. Of course, everyone had been asking for Spotify for ages here in America, and it had been available in Europe for a while, and everyone raved about it in Europe, and everyone in America is just like, when are we ever going to get this? So yeah, that was kind of a funny joke.
That was a good one.
Now granted, eventually Spotify would make its way to America by making a deal with Facebook. That would be the way that they got in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else?
My favorite of ThinkGeek that year was the Playmobil Apple Store playset, which was, you know, the little plastic people in their little plastic environment to introduce children to the magic of Apple. And you could use your own real iPhone 4 as the screen behind Steve Jobs in the keynote theater.
Nice. Nice. Reddit created a new thing called Mold.
Right, because Reddit Gold is their gift currency.
Yeah, it was kind of like exactly. So if someone gave you Mold, each time you received Mold, you'd see 10 fewer comments.
And lose the ability to type a certain letter. I think the first one was E, and then it would get down to, I think, only M, P, and H.
Yeah, you would eventually get to the point where the M, P, H would be the only letters you would be able to type within the comment section.
Yeah, all you could go is...
Yeah, which, you know, that's an interesting feature. There was an announcement of a Groupon clone called Deals for Hipsters, which was just Deals for Hipsters that said that if you were not satisfied, they would think about sending you a card that said, "I'm sorry that you didn't appreciate this."
Wow.
Yes.
I was super snobby.
I was about
to make a very unkind comment about Atlanta deal group that has a mustache in their logo, and then I decided that instead I'll just make a snarky allusion to it.
That's a wise decision, and I'll tell you why later. So Groupon itself said that it purchased April Fool's Day.
And
so that no one else could do anything about April Fool's Day because that would violate the terms of service. Funny or Die ended up, you know, they had become Bieber-centric the year before.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to do something totally different in this year. They decided instead for 2011, they'd become a Rebecca Black site. It was like Between the Music with Rebecca Black, things like that. Yeah. It was, interesting. Whereas Wolfram Alpha became Bieber Beta.
Bieber Beta.
Yeah, the little Wolfram Alpha logo became like a little cartoon picture of Bieber's face.
Wow. Google that year.
Yeah.
They had a job listing for the Google Autocompleter.
Right. This was so when you're typing in, like if you're on Chrome and you're typing in a search query in the search bar, the awesome bar, whatever, the Omni bar. I can't even remember what it's called in Chrome anymore. But when you start typing it in, it starts to autocomplete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're typing in a phrase, it tries to help you out by sending you responses that it thinks you're going to go for. And so the auto-completer, according to this, was the person who actually types up, you know, anticipates what that search is going to be and quickly types it in before you
do. Right. Yeah, minimum typing speed of 3,200 words per minute.
Yeah, it's, you know, let's go through a few keyboards a year that way.
Certificate in psychic reading, strongly preferred.
Right, yeah, it was very cute. Gmail had Gmail Motion, which was a gesture-based interface to navigate around Gmail.
The PDF of all the gestures is still available online. They're pretty good. Also, it announced that it was going to, as of like 3 days in the future, switch everything to Comic Sans, all the text across all of Google.
You know, Comic Sans definitely has like people just despise that with a passion that.
That and Papyrus are really...
The ones that people really hate, huh?
Yeah.
Kodak created the option to remove exes from your photos, like ex-girlfriends, ex-boyfriends from your photos, with an app called Relationshift.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I know a lot of people who would love that.
Yeah.
They definitely have a lot more photos posted on Facebook right now, had they had that option. LinkedIn began to suggest that you might want to connect professionally with people who are either dead or fictional, like John Watson or Albert Einstein.
Right.
That can really help you get your career ahead. There's some great stuff that year. Now, I guess we'll go ahead and move into last year, 2012.
Yeah.
And again, we don't have anything for 2013, so we'll talk a little bit about these. I like that Airbnb announced that they had a deal where you could stay aboard the International Space Station for $4,112 per night. So if you look at that amount of money, mm-hmm. $4,112, for April 1st, 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how they came up with that price. Cute.
Very cute.
The Register claimed that Apple had patented the rectangle. That specifically the patent was about a quadrilateral having all four interior angles of 90 degrees opposite sides that are parallel and congruent diagonals that bisect each other. So
that is amazing.
That's pretty funny.
My favorite from Think Geek last year was, I think that was the year of the Admiral Akbar singing Wallfish.
Yes, they had the singing bass, except it was Admiral Akbar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He could play the cantina song and say, it's a trap.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the sad thing. I would still buy that.
That's a little bit terrible, but
I'm ashamed to admit it, and yet it's still true. I cannot deny that I would actually buy that.
I think it would
end up sitting in a closet. Something my wife would never allow me to put that up anywhere. Not even in the dog's room. She'd be like, "Are you kidding?" I'm like, "The dog's deaf. He can't hear anything." And she's, "No, seriously. There's going to be some deep psychological damage you will do to that dog if we leave this here." So. I think it is not to be.
I think there would be. They also that year had Minecraft Marshmallow Creeps instead of Peeps.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And my personal favorite, as much love as I have for Admiral Akbar, they had the arsenic-based sea monkeys straight from Mono Lake. They are 100% pure science and 100% fun, which means 200% awesome for you.
Right. So that relates back to the science story from that year about the life forms found to live on arsenic,
mm-hmm.
which was a huge scientific breakthrough at the time, and was actually a story that ended a lot of misrepresentation in the science media. But anyway, yeah, so that was definitely a reference to that.
Gentle poke there, yeah.
Adblock said that it would expand beyond blocking ads to blocking pictures of cats.
Oh, didn't they? What, Adblock had, I feel like in a previous year they had had, instead of the normal Adblock logo, they would have an ad, like a block thing with a cat on it.
It very well might have.
In a previous year, so that's cute. They went from all cats to no cats.
I liked what Hulu did in that they you know, the Hulu voice guy, like, "This episode is brought to you by blah blah blah," that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had it as if they had accidentally inserted outtakes from his recording sessions into the things, like red leather, yellow leather, blah 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 blah. All right, are we rolling? Like that. Or, "This episode of Hulu is brought to you by, hey, are we ready to go yet or what?" You know, that kind of stuff. And it was actually inserted into their otherwise normal videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really amusing. Beats Audio announced that they were releasing Beats by Boyle, as in Susan Boyle, as in I Dreamed a Dream.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Dre and Susan Boyle finally,
making waiting for that album all my life.
That connection that will rule the music world. Toshiba, again, they announced that they were releasing tablets of interesting shapes, including an oval, a rhombus, and a heart.
Aww,
heart-shaped tablet.
I would buy a heart-shaped tablet. That's so sweet.
I have no doubt that you would. It would probably end up right next to my Admiral Akbar singing bass.
Blizzard announced that they were going to start doing more children's content. Educational games, YA novels, things like a fully functional Zerg typing game.
Right, where the Zerg would rush you if you don't type the word out properly.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Reader Ravager, which would, you know, devour tome after tome of ancient lore, teaching kids a valuable lesson that reading isn't just fun, it's downright delicious.
Nice. YouTube announced that they would offer the entire database of videos on DVD.
Because there's nothing like web content on DVD.
Right, so if you wanted it, you could order it. It would require 175 delivery trucks to carry all the DVDs to your house. But you could get them. Of course, you couldn't really. That was the joke.
No, no.
Stuff.tv had a couple of different jokes. One of them said that Apple was introducing a 42-inch iPad. which would have been enormous. And the other was that Apple and BlackBerry were collaborating to build a new smartphone called the Crumble. And it looked like a BlackBerry smartphone with an Apple on-screen interface.
Wow.
Yeah. Google, of course, went nuts in 2012.
Yeah, they had that, great, 8-bit map.
Yeah, the Nintendo NES. It was Google Maps for the Nintendo NES. And, it turned Google Maps into an 8-bit version, and it worked everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they built it. Yeah, they created that thing. This wasn't entirely a joke.
There was a really long time where you could actually switch it to that mode. I wonder if you still can. I didn't try it before the podcast.
But there was a little link or icon down at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, there was something where you could switch it over, and it was just hilarious. Like everything, it looked like everything was Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
And so you could look at your own neighborhood as if it were part of Legend of Zelda, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. The Google Racing was announced, which was going to be autonomous NASCARs.
Right. So because the big story about the Google autonomous car was still in the news at that point. They've been in the news for a while at that point. But yeah, it was kind of funny to have the idea of these driverless cars competing against each other in a race.
Right.
Chrome got multitask support, which allowed multiple cursors to be on the screen at the same time. Anyone who has used any of the collaborative tools that Google made, like Google Wave, things like that, it allows multiple people to edit the same document at the same time.
Sure.
And you actually see the edits in real time. So if you've ever had that experience where multiple people were working on the same thing all at once, mostly to mess with each other, it's funny and irritating. Now imagine that where everyone's got control of a different cursor on your screen. That would be a nightmare.
Pretty great. 2012 was also the year of Street Rue. Which was
the kangaroo.
The kangaroo with a camera on it, which would allow them to cover those tricksy parts of the Australian outback that are otherwise unreachable by Google Street.
They also had Google Fiber bars. They were bars of fiber stuff that you would eat, like actual snack bars.
Like optical fiber?
No, it's supposed to be like fiber.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Get your fiber, but that it was based on an algorithm that would analyze what your body needed and provide you exactly the nutrition that you required at that time. Yeah. Let's see. Sony unveiled a 0.75-inch VAIO Ultrabook Q series with 8 gigabytes of RAM, 1080p resolution. Come on, 1080p resolution when it's 0.75 inches, that's easy. Yeah. That's still like 3 pixels. And then the AMD Radeon HD 6650 graphics card. Which that was, and the picture was like a person holding this tiny little thing in the palm of their hand. It could fit in your pocket because it's 3/4 inch.
Reddit that year had introduced the Reddit timeline, because that was when Facebook was switching over to timeline and everyone was freaking the heck out, as people do about Facebook changes, which extended from all the way to the beginning of time until the heat death of the universe.
Right. So you could look at headlines of any given time.
From prehistory to the future.
Exactly. It was fantastic. Virgin announced Virgin Volcanic, which was a vehicle that would allow you to visit the center of the earth.
Oh, right.
It looked like a corkscrew, like a really like super high-tech corkscrew thing.
Yeah. Seth Green was going to be on that.
They also had announced that they would start to accept a new currency. The currency would be tied to the British pound, but it was a currency specific to Virgin Mobile. So anyone who's been to a theme park that has theme park specific money, essentially the same idea. Of course, the unit of currency for Virgin was called the Branson.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean,
wonderful.
How could it not be?
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite isn't, terribly tech related, except for it happened on Facebook. George Takei announced that there was going to be a new Star Trek film coming out that, that he was going to play the captain in. And I wanted this movie so badly.
Yeah.
I was so excited about it for like 2.5 minutes until I realized it was April Fool's
Day. You realized what day it was, yeah. I in the past, I've actually got people a few times with some great...
Yeah.
Like, I posted one year that I was developing a story and I had pitched it and that it had actually been accepted and I was going to fly out to Hollywood to have a discussion about making a movie about a pair of scientists who are both studying the human genome and had identified the genes that guide aging.
Okay.
And they wanted to try and find a way where they could stop aging so that, you know, the cellular death is no longer a problem. You could theoretically live forever as long as nothing terrible happened to you. Like, you know, you would still die if you got hit by a bus, but
sure,
otherwise
clearly.
You would live indefinitely.
Technically immortal, yeah.
Right. And that they, because of funding issues or whatever, the whole system is shut down. And so they both, independently of each other, there's a man and a woman, mm-hmm. and they both love each other, but they have not expressed their love to one another. They independently do tests on themselves. But for one of them, it speeds up the aging process. And for the other, it reverses the aging process. And so they begin to age apart from one another as the love story unfolds. And the question is, when is the love story? Is the love story going to actually be a thing, or is it going to have to stop? So that was my pitch. I was trying to think of, I was literally sitting there thinking, like, what is the most stupid story I can think of? And I typed that up. Here's the thing. That joke came back to bite me because everyone said, no, you have to write this now. I'm like, but that's a dumb story.
That's
like,
an
awful story. I want to see that story.
It would sell so well.
Yeah. But then, you know, that was before the Benjamin Button film had come out.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
So that one, I say, you know, Benjamin Button essentially tells that story in a way. It's not, you know,
it's not literal.
It's
not a
literal translation of that, but it's very similar. So when that came out, I was like, nope, someone else has already done it, and they did it probably better than I would have anyway. So, but I've done similar jokes like that a couple of times, and usually I get people believing me for about half an hour, and then someone will figure it out. And as soon as someone figures it out,
they post, and then everyone goes.
Right, and I'm like, thanks. You know, you could just sit there and send me a message and say,
ha-ha,
good April Fool's joke. But no, you have to ruin it for everybody, or I have to delete your comment. I'm not above such things. Well, anyway, so it's interesting. I'm curious to see what happens this year. Like I said, by the time this podcast goes live, you guys have probably seen quite a few examples of the ridiculous stuff that happens. And I do, my heart goes out to all of my tech journalist peers
mm-hmm.
who are exhausted by April Fool's Day and find no joy in it whatsoever and only see it as a irritable event that happens on a yearly basis, and they cannot wait for April 2nd.
Just think about that Street Rue and the George Takei movie.
I didn't mention it, but one year Kodak said that they had created a 3D printer that would allow you to print live kittens. It was a kitten printer.
Just think of the kitten printer
before you get upset.
Of the kitten printer.
That should just make you feel better. All right, so if you guys have any favorite jokes, maybe there's something that we did not cover, but it's something you're familiar with and you think we should have talked about it, why don't you let us know? Send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. We always are happy to accept any suggestions for future episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter with the handle TechStuffHSW, and Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.